I'm not about to wreck anybody's marriage. That's not who I am.
Her boyfriend failed to mention his wife.
Who did he say she was?
An ex-girlfriend who was jealous that he was finally happy.
So he's got this act down pat.
But is he worth battling over?
She grabbed me by my shirt and started beating my face.
He's the piece of garbage. He's the one who broke your vows.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinlein. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Sherry Webster is suing her ex-boyfriend's wife, Nancy Marquez, for an assault. Nancy claims Sherry attacked her first.
Order. All rise. Case number 219 on the calendar, the matter of Webster versus Marquez.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Judge parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Folks, have a seat.
Ms. Marquez, this is your husband?
Yes.
And Ms. Webster, you and Mr. Marquez were co-workers?
Yes, ma'am.
And at some point during your work environment, you became friends and then more than friends?
Yes, Your Honor.
According to the complaint that I have, at the time, you were unaware of the fact that he was still living at home and married?
Correct, Your Honor.
Had you asked him about his marital status?
Yes, I did.
And what did he tell you?
He told me he wasn't married.
When did he tell you he wasn't married?
When we first started talking, shortly after we met at work.
When did you start working at your company?
October of 2012.
And Mr. Marquez?
I don't recall.
Was he working there when you arrived?
I don't think so. I worked in the primary care side. He worked in the urgent care side, so we
are... So you worked in a hospital setting?
Medical office.
Medical,
yes, ma'am.
Office setting. When did you start working there, sir?
January.
Of what year?
2011.
Does your husband wear a wedding ring?
No.
Okay. Now, this is what the case is about. It is your claim, Ms. Webster, that the defendant assaulted you.
Yes, ma'am.
She assaulted you because, I assume, she ascertained that you and her husband were seeing each other.
Yes.
And when did that assault take place?
March 22nd of 2014.
How long had you and Mr. Marquez been seeing each other at that time?
Since December of 2013.
Did you ever go out for dinner?
Yes.
How frequently?
A few times. We...
Three times? Four times? Twice?
About three times.
Other than that, he came to your home?
He's been in my home, yes.
Most of the time he stayed in your home?
When
you spent time together?
Hotel. I've also been in his home a couple times.
When?
December. Like right after we started dating.
Weren't there photographs of...
I didn't see any photographs, no.
At what time of the day were you with
him? In the morning, early a.m.
Okay. Ms. Marquez, when did you become aware that your husband was having an affair with the plaintiff?
I wasn't aware that they were having an affair.
Oh, at some point you became aware that they were having an affair.
I wasn't aware that there was anything going on at all until she brought it to my attention and said they were. I confronted my husband about it, and he said that there was nothing going on between the two of them.
Okay. Now, when did the plaintiff make you aware that there was something going on?
Your Honor, I'm not exactly sure the date.
Month and year.
I'm not exactly sure.
It was before March 22nd.
I can estimate, but I can't tell you for sure when. And I'm going to say February.
Okay, well before March 22nd.
When there was an interaction. 2014, yes.
I want you to tell me, Ms. Marquez, who initiated that conversation and how it came about?
She initiated the conversation. She sent me a message on Facebook.
Do you have that message?
No, I don't. I didn't pull it up.
Why?
Because I didn't feel it was relevant to this. This is an incident.
Of course it's relevant to this. So she sent you a message on Facebook.
Yes.
And what did the message say on Facebook?
Without it being in front of me, Your Honor,
what
I couldn't tell
did
you.
What did the message say?
I asked her if her and Deshaun were married.
So you asked the question?
I did ask the question.
Did you say anything else to her?
I told her that we were involved. We had been seeing each other for a couple of months, and he said that he wasn't married.
Okay. Did she respond to you?
Yeah. She asked me if I was the girl that picks him up every morning for work and drives the burgundy car. Yes.
And you responded yes?
Yes.
So you had a conversation back and forth?
Yes. I even had pictures of us posted on Facebook, and I took them down at her request.
But you had a conversation with her where it is clear in February that you were asking, mm-hmm, were they married?
Yes.
And she said yes. And then there was a further conversation, and she said to you, were you the lady that picks him up and you drive a burgundy car? Does that refresh your recollection?
Pretty much.
Great. So if I were an intelligent woman, what I would say to myself is, if this woman is asking me whether or not her boyfriend is married to you, that would suggest to me that he has been lying to both of you. That's what a normal person would come away with. He is the bad guy. You two are the innocents. That's what would come to my mind. Clearly, that's not what came to your mind. So now you understand that they're married.
Well, I confronted him and asked him.
So you confronted him?
I did, and he swore up and down he wasn't married. He showed me proof on his W-2 forms that he filed single.
Oh. He's not only a liar, he's a really good practiced liar. So I would suggest to you, how long have you been married to him?
Since 2009.
That it's not the first time. This is just the first time he got caught, because he's got it down pat. Does he file separately as single?
We both file separately.
Yes, single. So this is not something she's making up. I just want you to follow. You have to follow. You have to follow all the pieces. So this is not something she's making up. She confronts him, and he says to her, "That woman is nuts." In effect, I'm single. I'm going to show you that I'm single. Here is my W-2 form, where I file singly, I claim no dependents, because that's not something you would make up, right? So he's got this act down pat. Now, what?
I did ask her to see a copy of the marriage certificate. She did send me a picture via my cell phone. I couldn't see at the bottom signatures of anybody, so I asked her if the three of us could meet, because I wanted to get to the bottom of it, because I'm not about to wreck anybody's marriage. That's not who I am.
So you were having these conversations over Facebook?
Yes. Well, no, I then had her phone number, because she sent me on an old phone number. I don't have that phone anymore, but she sent me a, pictures of the marriage certificate, and I said...
Oh, so you had her phone number. So then
and
you
I showed her. I showed Deshaun the pictures, and he said that they were fake. Anybody could print them off the computer.
Well, who did he say she was?
An ex-girlfriend who was jealous that he was finally happy and...
Got it.
Story. Didn't want him to be happy, wanted him to be miserable.
Okay, so you called Ms. Marquez...
Yes, ma'am.
...and asked for the three of you to meet.
Yes.
When was that?
Shortly after the Facebook messages and...
That was sometime in February.
February.
And what happened?
Never got to meet with the both of them. They wouldn't...
Did you ever meet with her?
I seen her once outside of my work. I was off work on a medical leave at the time, and I had to stop in and get some paperwork. And she did walk up to my car, and we did have a conversation.
Well, I'd like you to tell me about that. That was sometime in February?
Yes, ma'am.
Tell me what the conversation was.
She walked up because she knew my car, because I picked him up for work quite frequently. And she said that, yes, she is his wife. They've been married. And I asked her questions about little details about stuff that he had told me. And she confirmed and denied a couple of things that he had lied about, and about going back into the military and a couple other things. And my daughter was actually in the car with me that night. And then she did proceed to tell me that he's not going to stop bothering me.
He's not going to stop bothering you?
Yes, ma'am. Because he likes me, and he's not going to stop bothering me. He's going to continue to call me and try to get time with me.
And that was the end of the conversation?
Yes.
You recall that conversation?
No, not like that, no.
Well, tell me how you recall that conversation.
I recall that conversation as she wanted me to meet with her at the job, and that's what I did. And true enough, her daughter was in the car with her. I give her that. But as far as...
Don't look down.
As
look,
far
don't
as
look down,
telling
look at me.
Her that...
No, I want you to tell me what the...
I'm telling you.
Tell me what the conversation was, not what it was not.
The conversation, I don't remember me asking her or telling her anything about he's
tell
going
me what
to
you,
be with her.
Listen to me. Tell me what you remember, not what you don't remember.
I don't remember the whole conversation.
Tell me what you do remember.
I remember talking to her, and that's about it, what the conversation
okay.
was about.
Got it. I got it.
Don't remember.
I got it.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
She reached in through my window, pinned me down into my passenger seat, and started beating my face.
It's not my fault that she can't fight.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Sherry Webster says her ex-boyfriend's wife, Nancy Marquez, assaulted her in a parking lot.
Now tell me what happened on March 22nd.
Earlier during the day, because Deshaun was getting off work at 8 o'clock. That's when the urgent care closes. And earlier in the day, we text back and forth. I don't know who initiated the text. I honestly, I can't remember. But I was going to be in the area because I had an appointment. And I said, do you have a ride home? And he said, I'll let you know. And then he texted me back and said, no, he needs a ride home. And I said, well, I'm in the area and I have to go kind of that way to go home anyway. So I'll just pick you up and take you home. And he's like, all right. Well, I got done with my appointment a little bit earlier and I was coming down the side street to where we go in for the job. Anyways, I seen her vehicle coming in the opposite direction. Well, I had my window down like halfway and it's dark out, so I couldn't really see. But previously she had been driving a different car. So this was the car that I've seen her in before. So I kind of looked to see if it was her, and it was her. So I pulled into the job, pulled into the back where they clock in and out, and I texted him.
What did you say in the text?
I said, Nancy's here. You know, why did you tell me you needed a ride if you have someone picking you up? Where are you? I'm outside.
And did he respond to you?
He did. He said he was in the front of the building.
Okay.
But in the time between I texted him and he responded to me, she had come into the driveway and she had come past me, turned around and was parked facing the opposite direction, not like blocking my car, but off to the side. And I was parked here. And I can hear her screaming and yelling at him, arguing with him, because I heard her call him Carlos. And then I was like, you know what? I said, I'm leaving. And he goes, I'm out front.
What do you mean I'm leaving?
I said, I'm just going to leave. She's here, obviously. You don't need me to give you a ride home.
Did you see him? I'm not
visual. No, I did not see him. He did not come out the back door. He said
and
he was in the front of the building.
And were the two of you at the back door?
Well, we were both in our vehicles.
But at the back door?
Yeah, we didn't talk to each other at that point.
Okay.
And he told me he was at the front of the building. And so he told me to come around to the front. So I drove around to the front. Well, I had rolled my window down because it was dark out and I have tinted windows and I can't see, looking for him, and he wasn't there. So I stopped.
So now you drove around to the front and yes, you're in the front and he's not there.
He's not there. And I'm like, where are you? He goes, oh, I'm across the street at the bank. Okay, you knew I was giving you a ride.
No.
Where are you?
He told you. I'm across the street at the bank at night. Go ahead.
And so I sat there for like a second, and then she come around. She followed me around, and I was over far enough, and I had my passenger window down. She pulled up to the right of me and enough to where our windows were kind of where she could talk to me, and then she said some things to me and called me.
She said nasty things to you.
Nasty things to me.
And
got out.
What happened next? Who got out of their car?
She got out of her vehicle. I was still seatbelted in my car. She got out of her vehicle and was yelling at me, and then she reached in through my window, grabbed me by my shirt and my tank top and just grabbed like this whole, scratched me, pinned me down into my passenger seat, and started beating my face.
Through the window?
Through the window. My window was down all the way. I was pinned across my seatbelt, and I couldn't unbuckle my seatbelt.
Did there ever come a time when you got out of your car during the altercation?
After I got away from her, which was by putting my car, I was able to put my car in reverse and back up.
Okay. Judge Judy continues in a moment.
He's the piece of garbage. You have to pin the label garbage on the right person.
Mm-hmm.
That's him. Now, if you wanted to have an altercation, why don't you have an altercation with him?
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Sherry Webster says her ex-boyfriend's wife, Nancy Marquez, assaulted her in a parking lot.
Now, I'd like to see your medical records, please.
Would you like the pictures right now?
Mm-hmm. I would.
Let's get that all to her.
Okay, your side of the story.
My side of the story.
Just get to the date.
Get to the date. On the 22nd.
You remember that date. You don't remember the conversation with her daughter in the car, but you remember that date.
Because she said it. On the 22nd of March is when the incident happened, so she says. I don't remember the date. But what I do remember is picking my husband up, going to the job to pick him up, and he said he wasn't quite ready to leave yet. Our daughter lives up the street. I was going to her house. He told me to turn around and come back. I came back. I was standing outside my car. She pulls up. We do have an altercation. Verbal
what?
Altercation. She gets what? Out her car. I'm already standing out my car. She gets back in her car. She hits me with her car. I have proof. I fell down and I defended myself. Now, it's not my fault that she can't fight. I have defensive marks on my arms where I was bruised.
Let me tell you something, Miss Marquise.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
He's the piece of garbage. He's the garbage. He's the one who broke your vows. You have to pin the label garbage on the right person.
Mm-hmm.
That's him. Now, if you wanted to have an altercation, why don't you have an altercation with him? You want to have an altercation with him? Pack his bags, toss him out the window, and say adios. I don't live with garbage. Who make a fool out of me? What are you starting with her for? He's the liar. He's the con man. He's the cheat. Use your brains. You don't think you can find another star like him? Trust me. Trust me. You can find another piece of garbage like that. They're all over the place. But your anger was directed towards the wrong person. He was lying to her. You just heard all the evidence necessary to tell you that he was conning her, that you weren't his wife, but you were some girlfriend stalker who was trying to make his life miserable. Here, here's proof that I'm not married. I filed my taxes separately. Anybody could fill out that marriage license. Anybody can do that. She doesn't want me to be happy. That's what he's telling her. She wants to believe it because she likes him. Just the same way you didn't want to believe that she wasn't stalking him, that he was just this poor soul that couldn't get away from the clutches of this lady. That must have been in your mind to have assaulted her. Because there's no question in my mind you assaulted her on March 22nd. No question.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
So, you want to be an idiot? You want to take out your wrath on the wrong person? It's going to cost you $5,000. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $5,000.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Out!
Why is that excuse? May step out.
Well, seeing that there was no affair.
Actually, he's the one who initiated contact. He said that he had a crush on me.
I don't know what she was trying to do, but I had told her.
He pursued me for a while.
That we were husband and wife, and I wasn't going anywhere.
Flirted for a good 6 to 9 months.
And he wasn't going anywhere, and if that's what she thought was going to happen, she was a fool.
Stay away from scumbags.
I'm standing by you.
And follow my gut instinct.
We're still married. We still live together. I'm not going anywhere, neither is he.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Jacob versus Godfrey. Step forward.
24-year-old Victoria Jacob is suing her ex-boyfriend, Benjamin Godfrey, for the fee to break their lease.
Ms. Jacob, how long did you and the defendant live together?
We lived together for 10 months.
And that was on a 12-month lease?
13-month lease.
And then things didn't work out, and you both broke the lease?
Yes.
And there was a breaking lease fee?
Yes.
Correct?
That is correct.
And how much was the fee?
The total bill was $1,567.64.
Can I see that, please? So the break lease fee was $2,000?
Yes.
And how much was your rent?
Rent was $1,345 a month.
And there was a security deposit?
Mm-hmm.
And how much was that?
The $767.
So there was a $1,500 bill left over?
Yes.
Did you pay your half?
I gave her some money.
No, I'm just talking about the break lease fee. Listen to me. Mm. She also says that there's other money that you owe her because you were out of work for a while and she covered the rent. And I'm not interested in that. You were playing house. If you were out of work, she covered the bills. If she was out of work, you were going to have to cover the bills. That's what happens when people play house. And I don't bother with that. Mm. I'm just asking if you paid your $750 towards the breaking lease fee since you did, in fact, break the lease.
So I gave her money. It was my fault to not get receipts, so I don't know what she did with
when the money. Did you give her money?
The last 2 weeks that we were living there.
For what?
For I gave her money to help, like, break it, because she's like, I'll take care of it. And I was like, okay. I told her I would help her out with whatever else.
No, I don't understand. Was that rent?
It would be, like, towards rent, basically.
Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $750. Thank you very much. That's all.
Step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Some get clever.
It's the story. I'm sticking to it.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Others get hostile.
I'm going to tell you what happened.
Judge Judy gets the last word.
They don't keep me here because I'm gorgeous. They keep me here because I'm smart.
We had some financial disagreements. I supported him in times when he needed help.
I just don't make enough money to do anything with my life.
And then he ended the relationship.
I basically it came down to that after a while.
We mutually agreed to break the lease.
Yeah, that I just didn't have enough money to be with her.
And he hasn't paid his half.
She cheated on me with the guy she brought. That's the best part.
Learned lesson.
Don't get involved with a girl that wants money over love.
I'm just happy that she was able to see the truth in the case.
Sold one of these pigs to a woman whose name is Jessica.
A petite porker changes hands.
You never met him before. He met Jessica. Jessica sold him the pig.
Mr. Pullen contacted me and said, I need to know if this pig is stolen. And I said, you have my pig?
It's not your pig.
Then did she go hog wild?
You brought the police to his house. You threatened to charge him with felonies.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Leslie Shelton is suing Michael Poland for the return of a potbelly pig and travel expenses.
Order. All rise.
It's case number 249 on the calendar, the matter of Shelton versus Poland. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Young ladies, have a seat, please.
Miss Shelton, do you raise these small pigs?
I do. I breed and raise them.
And how long have you been doing that?
For about 7 years now.
On a particular date, and I assume you have a copy of the contract, you sold one of these piglet, a little
piglet,
one, to a woman whose name is Jessica.
Correct.
She signed a contract, then she took the pig.
Correct.
Can I see the contract that she signed, please? I'll look at that in a moment. In any event, she purchased this pig from you and subsequently put an ad on the internet,
Craigslist,
to sell the pig. She purchased it from you sometime after the first of the year because the pig was born in January of 2014.
She purchased it August 3rd of 2014, and...
Okay, so in any event, this is what happened. I'm going to read the contract in a moment. Evidently, Jessica didn't keep the pig, didn't want the pig, put it up for sale on Craigslist. The defendant answered that ad. He has family. They thought it would be a nice addition to their family. He met Jessica. He saw the pig. He paid her for it.
Yes, ma'am.
And she gave him, as a matter of fact, I believe, your information so he could contact you if he had any questions.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, my understanding is...
Don't tell me what your understanding is. You never met him before. He met Jessica. Jessica sold him the pig. Now, you say you want the pig back because it's in violation of your contract with Jessica.
Correct.
He says he is what we call a bona fide purchaser for value of this pig,
yes, ma'am,
which is a piece of merchandise. It's a merchandise. He paid value for it. He didn't steal it. He didn't find it on the side of a road. He knew nothing of your existence when he purchased it. He is not a signatory to your contract with Jessica, which I will look at in a moment. And he has a counterclaim. And his counterclaim is that you brought the police to his house. You threatened him. You threatened to charge him with
felonies,
theft. And he has a counterclaim, which I will hear. Now I'm going to read the contract. Well, first of all, page 2 of your contract, the portion that you want me to consider is invalid because what you've done is you've crossed something out here which says, if at any time this piglet is to be sold or given away, the breeder is to be notified in writing, mm-hmm, by certified mail and given first option to buy the pig or piglet back. What it says here is at the original purchase price.
Correct.
And then somebody crossed that out and put in one half deposit.
Correct.
Now, at the bottom, it's upon seller's approval, and that was initialed.
Correct.
But not this.
Oh, I didn't.
Not this. This was initialed because there was a modification, but not this cross out.
Okay.
In any event, I'm going to find out what happened with you, Mr. Poland, because plaintiff really, at this point, with regard to her case, has nothing to add.
Your Honor. I had an agreement with...
You have nothing to add.
Mr. Pullen, though.
No, you have nothing to add. Right now, you have no agreement with him. Right now, he purchased this pig, and he is going to tell me his story about purchasing it and what conversation you had with each other. Do you understand?
Correct.
So you purchased the pig. In what month did you purchase
it? It was September 13th, I believe, was the date I purchased.
September. So Jessica only had the pig for a few weeks.
Yes, ma'am. And she said, yes, ma'am.
How much did you pay for it? How much was it being advertised for?
It was advertised for $450, but I purchased it for $225.
Okay. Do you have the ad that
you
saw?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
I'd like to take a look at it.
And it has Jessica's phone number.
Okay, she says, I have a sweet, tame, beautiful, marked pixie pig that needs a good home. I paid $1,000 for her 3 months ago. And then she describes her. Her name is Everly. She loves attention. She's potty and kennel trained. Her kennel will go wherever she goes. I need to pay rent and my daughter's private school tuition. But most importantly, I want Lily to have a loving home. So I'm asking $450, which is less than half of what she paid. Or best offer. So you ultimately purchased the pig from her for $225. I need to find her home by tomorrow morning because tomorrow is moving day. I have her papers and a booklet of information on how to care for her. Please contact me if interested. You contacted her?
Yeah.
And tell me what...
We met at a gas station, met her, had my children in the car. She talked me through the pig, gave me a kennel, gave me this agreement.
The same agreement?
Buyer's copy.
Like
I don't believe I've got the whole thing, but this
is
what I received.
I'd like to take a look at it. I'd like to take a look at what she gave you.
Yes, ma'am. In the top right corner, she wrote what the pig had been eating.
Just one second.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, what she gave you is not what the plaintiff is giving me. It's a totally different contract, and it does not contain a provision that says that you have the right to be notified in writing, which would indicate to me that he... is, as what he says he is, a bona fide purchaser for value of this pig without any prior notice that you may have a claim against Jessica. Now, don't give me a well. He's not finished yet. So you go and pick up the pig.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, just for my own information, because I am coming back to you. You have a family, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Tell me about your family.
My wife's a nurse, my children are in school, and I have a young boy.
You work?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have other pets?
Two dogs.
And the pig?
Yes, ma'am.
And how does the pig get along with the dog?
Gets along great with them.
Okay. Now, going back to you, Miss Shelton, when you sold Jessica the pig, I want you to tell me how you found Jessica.
Jessica contacted me.
On how?
Off my petting zoo site.
Okay, from the internet.
Correct.
Jessica contacted you from the internet. I want you to tell me everything that you knew about Jessica when she came to look at the pig.
Jessica actually didn't come to look at the pig. She lives in Casper, Wyoming, which is about almost 3 hours away from where I live.
And
so we spoke a little
bit. You spoke on the phone?
We spoke on the phone.
And?
She explained to me.
No, don't tell me what she explained. You spoke on the phone, and what did she do? Ship the pig to her?
No, she paid by credit card. My husband travels her way. And so following day, he ended up delivering the pig and the contracts to her.
Fine. So you never even met Jessica.
I've never met Jessica.
Just follow where I'm going.
Okay.
You never met Jessica. She paid by credit card. You never inspected her house. Certainly, if you had asked, certainly if you would ask questions, you were not very clairvoyant because within a month of purchasing this pig, she had to get rid of it. So if you thought you did any kind of an inquiry, clearly you were wrong because she did in fact end up selling the pig within 4 weeks of purchasing it.
Correct. Your circumstances
changed. So clearly you were wrong. Now, what I'm also getting from you, because one of the things that sort of bothers me about this whole lawsuit is you were selling this pig as a pet. And you were selling the pig as a pet because, according to your contract that you show me, and Jessica isn't here, so I can't confirm whether or not that's her signature. I can't confirm whether she actually signed this contract because she would be your witness. He's not... Listen to me. She's not here. I can't confirm.
I have a notarized statement, though.
I don't read notarized statements. As you see, I talk to people. So what I'm not understanding from you, Ms. Shelton, is this. And this is just common sense. Has nothing to do with your legal right, of which I'm telling you, you have none against him. It has to do with what the heck you're doing here.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Why in the world would you want to disrupt this animal and make a legal mitzia about nothing? I don't understand that.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Leslie Shelton says Michael Poland won't return a potbelly pig that rightfully belongs to her. Michael is countersuing for harassment.
Okay, you were selling a pig as a pet to somebody that you never met, that you talked to over the phone. Now you find out that Jessica, after a month, didn't want the pig anymore. And she put an ad on Craigslist, and she sold it to this family. This family was, I assume, concerned enough because you did call her, didn't you?
Yes, ma'am.
He didn't think he was doing anything wrong. He called you. He said, gee, my family just bought this pig. We love her. We want to know, I assume, how to care for her. I assume that was the reason for the call. Why in the world would you want to disrupt this animal that I'm sure you care about if you're not a heartless breeder and make a legal mitzia about nothing? I don't understand that.
Well, first of all, we did inspect her home. I work with rescues throughout the state. We call upon someone to go into the home to inspect
Show me the report. Show me, the report of her house. I don't believe
you. We get a verbal report.
I don't believe you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not flying with me.
And then my understanding was Jessica did not sell him the pig.
I don't care what your understanding is. Answer my question. You sold this pig as a pet. You knew nothing about Jessica's home. Just like you knew nothing about his home. Except you did know this, that he purchased it and that he was concerned enough about it to call you and ask you all the right questions about how to take care of it, what you have to do to make them thrive. He didn't think that he was stealing your pig.
Well, he contacted me, and the first thing he said, he introduced himself, because I had been waiting for this pig to be delivered. I was at the spot. They had not shown up. I was trying
to get...
Who's
the they? Jessica?
Jessica's sister, because Jessica...
Listen to me. You can't tell me anything about that. That's all hearsay.
Okay.
That's all hearsay. If you're telling me that you had an arrangement with Jessica and Jessica was going to bring you the pig, that's all hearsay. It's like a windshield wiper.
Okay, Mr. Poland contacted me and said, I just received this pig. Your name's on this paperwork. He said, I need to know if this pig is stolen. And I said, you have my pig?
Just a second. It's not your pig. Is that what you said to her?
No, ma'am.
Listen,
he did.
You have absolutely no cause of action against him. He is a bona fide purchaser for value.
I had a verbal agreement with him that we spoke about.
Oh,
about
you had a contract with him is what you're telling me.
Well, I spoke to him. I told him that the pig had been sold. I had someone on a waiting list, and he said, I'd really like to have this pig. And I said, let me talk to the people. It was going to Canada. I would be willing to talk to you about selling this pig if they're willing to wait.
It's not your pig. Where are you come off to make a contract with him? Hey, listen to me. It's not your pig to sell.
If you look at the contract, not the part where the deposit comes back, the spay and neuter agreement says, as of 8/27, if it had not been spayed, the pig reverts back to
you. You sue Jessica, not him. You're suing the wrong person.
But if it's my pig in the contract...
It's not your pig in the contract. You have to exercise that right. If I believe this contract... And Jessica's not here for me to even verify that she signed the contract.
I can show you a notarized statement that they witnessed her signature,
listen,
and her signature is on here.
Listen to me carefully. Courts don't take notarized statements. Is she in the military?
No, she's been in
the
hospital.
Just a minute. I don't believe you. You know, I think that you have a credibility problem.
I'm sorry.
You have no case against him. I'm trying to tell you, you have no case against him. If he calls you and says, I have this pig, and you say, I have my pig, and I have a waiting list, I'll see whether I can get the other people in Canada to stay on the wait list and see how much money they're going to pay me for that pig.
No, they don't have to be paid.
Pay attention. I know exactly where you're coming from. I know exactly where you're coming from. I know the actuality of it. You don't have to be a genius.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
I'll let you, from your own money, buy the pig back from him for $1,000. You want to buy the pig back for $1,000?
And later today...
If what you're saying is her friend stole your property...
I actually don't know if her friend stole my property.
Well,
it could have been her
either.
Or it could
what,
have been my friend.
I don't know, and you don't know if she stole your property. So what do you want from me?
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Leslie Shelton says Michael Poland won't return a potbelly pig that rightfully belongs to her. Michael is countersuing for harassment.
Now, you have no case against him at all because you had no right to say to him, well, maybe I'll let you keep my pig. You have my pig? You have my pig? He doesn't have your pig. He has his pig because he paid for it. as a bona fide purchaser for value. And the reason I know he did it in good faith was because he called you. If he was trying to hide something, he wouldn't have called you. And you said, oh, no. This contract that said I can buy back the pig for its original price, she's smart, somebody crossed out and wrote in half the deposit without initialing it. Now, just for my own information, because you know where we are, I'll let you, from your own money, buy the pig back from him for $1,000.
Yes, ma'am.
You want to buy the pig back for $1,000?
I don't want to buy the pig back when I own the pig.
That's all I wanted to know. You want the pig. That's what it is. Take it out of your Visa, MasterCard, American Express.
We had an agreement between him
your
and I,
though. Your case is dismissed. Now I'm going over to the counterclaim. Because I think you're a hustler. Go.
I asked the plaintiff to stop contacting me. I received text messages
at
1 a.m. in the morning.
That I'll read.
Yes, ma'am. Can I give it all to you, ma'am?
Yes.
All right. It's probably about 2 or 3 pages back. I stopped with...
Shh. Oh, you just should have blocked her number.
I did after the officer told
me
to.
Fine. You just should have blocked her number.
I should have.
Well, she's not going to disrupt you anymore.
Yes, ma'am.
Now she's on notice.
I appreciate
that. Now she's going away.
Sure.
Understand?
Yes, ma'am.
You happy with the pig?
Yes, ma'am.
You like her?
Yes.
Well, good. That should make Miss Shelton very happy. Case is dismissed. So is your counterclaim. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Please excuse me. Step out.
His actions, I'm not comfortable with the pig being in his home.
Pig's not going nowhere now.
Him and I agreed that I would go ahead and give him his $225 back and he'd return the pig. And that didn't take place.
I'm very happy with it. I'm glad it's over.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Mola versus Hassan. Step forward.
24-year-old Caitlin Mola is suing 19-year-old Gina Hassan for damaging her home and stealing her clothes while she was cat-sitting.
Ms. Mueller, you hired the defendant to take care of your cat when you were away.
Mm-hmm.
You had hired her once before. It was satisfactory.
Yeah, I actually hired her twice before.
Twice before. On this occasion, which was on what date?
It was August 24th that we came back.
And she wasn't staying in your house. The idea was she was supposed to come in, feed the cat, change the kitty litter, maybe pet it once or twice,
mm-hmm.
leave. That was the arrangement, correct?
Well, yeah, sure, yeah.
No, I mean, were you supposed to stay in the house?
No, but there wasn't really, like, much of an instructions, like, behind the whole cat thing. But, yeah, that I was supposed to come in, feed the cat, entertain the cat, whatever, change the litter box, clean up cat litter, whatever.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now, when you got back on the 24th, you say that your house was trashed.
Yeah.
You subsequently found some things missing from the house. While that may be a more difficult thing to establish, who exactly took that stuff, I would like to see pictures of what you came home to find when you came home on the 24th.
Sorry.
All I asked you was, did you take photographs of the apartment when you came home?
No.
Well then,
except for the toilet.
So there was stuff in the toilet.
Yeah.
So she's a pig. So don't hire her again. What do you want?
Well, I want her to pay.
To what? Pay what?
Well, I have a police report of all of the things that she stole from me.
Just a second. You have no proof of what she stole from you. You didn't see her steal anything from
me. I did not see her steal anything from me.
Then you have no proof of this.
Well, I know she stole it. She told me that her friend Kylia stole the things, and I have that recorded on my phone.
Well, then why don't you sue her?
I am suing her as well, but she's the responsible person.
No, she's
I
not
gave
responsible.
Her the keys.
She's not. Nobody is responsible for somebody else's theft or crime. If her friend committed a crime, sue her.
But I gave her the keys.
It doesn't matter. If what you're saying is her friend stole your property.
I actually don't know if her friend stole my property.
Well,
it could have been her
either.
Or it could have been my friend.
I don't know, and you don't know if she stole your property. So what do you want from me?
I want you to figure out if she stole it from me.
I'm not going to ask her if she stole your property. Don't use her for a house sitter anymore. But you said something that was actually interesting to me. You said I am suing her. Where are you suing her?
In Washington.
Suing whom?
Kylia.
Is that you?
No, that's not me.
If what you're saying to me is you are suing somebody else in the... But pay attention.
I'm paying
attention. Suing somebody else in the state of Washington for your stolen property. Is that what you just told me?
Yes.
Goodbye.
Pardon or excuse, you may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy...
So get clever.
It's the story. I'm sticking to it.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Others get hostile.
I want to tell you what.
Judge Judy gets the last word.
They don't keep me here because I'm gorgeous. They keep me here because I'm smart.
Well, I found my apartment trash and I found a bunch of my stuff missing from my apartment.
She's ridiculous.
She stole my underwear.
Your underwear, you're large. Calm down.
I'm clearly not going to hire anybody off Craigslist ever again.
Who hires a 17-year-old off Craigslist and gives them their house key?
He proposed on Valentine's Day after I moved out.
A girlfriend gives up.
I told him it wasn't going to change, so I gave him his rings back.
And moves on.
These are the things that are mine, and I want them.
When you lived together, how did you divide the bills?
50-50.
Should he have spent more to keep her happy?
What happened when you went out for dinner? Did that work? Just curious.
Most of the time, I'd purchase the meal.
We didn't go out.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. This is Judge Judy. Rosanna Quinn is suing her former live-in boyfriend, Carl Boyer, for her share of appliances and furniture that are in Carl's possession.
Order. All rise. That's case number 200 on the calendar in the matter of Quinn versus Boyer.
Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ma'am, have a seat.
Miss Quinn, Mr. Boyer used to be your boyfriend, and it is your claim that he has some stuff that belongs to you.
Yes.
When did you and Mr. Boyer live together? From when to when?
2010 to 2014.
So it was a long-term relationship?
Yes.
And were you working at the time?
Yes.
Were you working at the time?
Yes.
Did you lease an apartment together?
We rented a house.
A house.
Yes.
Together?
Yes.
Both of you on the lease?
Yes.
When did you lease the house?
Well, we lived in one in Corona for a year, and then we moved out of there and moved to one in Norco, and we lived there for a year.
But you were together for 4 years.
Right. We lived at somebody else's house in the beginning, a friend of ours. We all lived together in one house. And then we moved out of there once he sold his house.
And you rented another house for a year. Mm-hmm. And when you rented the other house for a year, did you buy furnishings?
Yes.
Who bought them?
I did. I bought a refrigerator.
Well, you said, I bought the refrigerator. Is the only thing you have in the house a refrigerator?
No. The first house that we lived in, I bought a refrigerator. I bought a table and chairs, and then we had purchased a bed together and a television together.
Is that all the furniture that was in the house?
In that first house, yes. The second house, I bought a dryer.
Okay. And what did Mr. Boyer buy?
He bought a warranty for the refrigerator. He purchased...
Just a second.
Okay.
How much was that?
$300.
And how much was the refrigerator?
$1,500.
What else did Mr. Boyer pay for?
We bought a bed together. It was about $1,000. I paid $600. He paid $400.
What else?
We bought a TV together. The total bill was...
What about a couch? Is there a couch in the house?
We already had that.
From where?
It was her couch. And it was also a TV, and when she moved out once before, she was going to take that. I just purchased it from her for $500.
Okay. Now, when you lived together, how did you divide the bills?
50-50.
Did you have a joint bank account?
No.
So how did that work?
We split the rent down the middle, the utilities, anything related to the house.
Well, who would write who a check to cover those things?
I think we did it half and half. I would write a check, and he would write, and we each... Just separately.
Separately?
Right. I would write a check for my half. He would write a check for his half.
Put it in an envelope and drop it off at the landlord's house.
Okay. What about utilities? Same thing? You'd each write a check for half?
Yeah.
Actually, she would cover some of the utilities and I would cover other utilities. So
that's the way...
Right.
So you wrote one check for, say, power and one check for water. And what about when you went out? Now you were a couple living together for 4 years. What happened when you went out for dinner? How did that work? Just curious.
Most of the time, I'd purchase the meals.
We didn't go out. We didn't go out.
We went out quite often to eat.
No, we didn't.
So, just a second.
Quite often.
Ms. Graham, I'm just trying to understand before I probably say goodbye to you both. In the 4 years that you were together, you never went out for dinner.
Rarely.
That's not my question.
Okay.
I said, when you went out for dinner, who paid?
Sometimes it was him, sometimes it was me.
Mainly.
Jesus.
I made more money than he did. So most of the time, I believe it was me.
Mainly me.
Okay. Now I'd like you to tell me. So you had an argument and you split up what month and year?
January of 2014. Our year lease was up. I told him I was moving out. I wanted to be off the lease. I moved down the street to my daughter's house.
So that's January of 2014.
Yes.
So you moved out then. Now, we're coming up on almost the second anniversary of that.
Yeah. He proposed on Valentine's Day after I moved out.
Okay, so that's February.
Yes.
He proposed and?
Yes. And I said I would marry him if things changed.
Okay.
But I wasn't moving back until things changed.
Okay, and?
So between February and November, we were trying to work things out. And in November, I told him it wasn't going to change, so I gave him his rings back.
So November of 2014?
Yes.
Okay. So between January of 2014 and November of 2014, whatever items that you're claiming are yours remained in his house?
Correct.
For that year?
For
the 11 months?
From February to November, yes.
No, from January to November.
Yes.
They remained in his house?
Yeah.
And you were living with your daughter, or were you living back with him?
No, I was living with my daughter down the street.
So you were living with your daughter, and you made no claim for any of this property for that year?
No, I did.
You asked him for it back?
Yes, I did.
While you were engaged, you say, I want this back.
Well, I told him. I said that, just remember, these are my things.
While you were wearing the ring?
Well, we weren't living together.
I don't care whether you were living together or not. You mean you were wearing the ring, you told him you wanted the things back, he didn't give them to you during that year, and you remained engaged.
Yes.
I don't believe that. Okay. Now, what happened in November?
So I gave him the ring back, and again, told him that I needed my things, I wanted my things. He said, no, I'm using them, so I'm not going to give them to you. I started sending him emails requesting my refrigerator. I listed all the things in my emails. I have them here printed out. And I said, these are the things that are mine and I want them. I told him how much I paid for each of them. And I said, I want them back or you need to pay me for them. I said, if you want to keep them all, just pay me $1,500 and we'll call it even and you can keep all the stuff.
Okay. What things did you want back?
I wanted the bed, the fridge, the dryer.
Just a second.
The TV.
The bed you bought together?
Yes.
Mattress and box spring.
The bed you bought together. Okay. What else?
So the bed, the fridge, the dryer, and the TV.
Just a minute. The TV. I didn't get that you bought the TV yourself. I got that you bought it together.
Your Honor, if I may.
Just a second. That's what I got.
Okay, so my email to him was that I'm asking for $600 for the bed, which is my portion of the bed.
It's not worth that anymore.
Well, that's what I was asking.
No, maybe. I mean, let me ask you this question. If I said to you, he wants to give you $25 for the bed, you would say, I don't want the $25 for the bed. It's worth $600. That's what I paid for. That was my half, right?
Yes.
Well, what about you give him the money for half the bed, and then you could have the bed? Because you would say to me, well, that's not fair. The bed is years old. It's not worth that. If somebody went to sell it, maybe you'd get $50 for it at a garage sale.
He wasn't going to give up the bed because he didn't have one.
Yes,
that
I would have.
The operation of his mind, madam.
Especially for that kind of money.
Just a second. That's ridiculous. Now, the refrigerator. Refrigerator, you said you spent $1,500 for in what year?
2012. And to buy the same refrigerator today, it's around the same
price. That doesn't matter.
2011.
It doesn't matter. You bought it 2011 or 2012?
2012. It's right here.
Great. So now it's 3 years old. And how much do you think if you put that refrigerator on Craigslist whatever they sell things on the internet, how much do you think somebody would give you for it? $100?
No, it's a really nice refrigerator.
How much would somebody give you?
At least 500.
You think so?
Yes, but I had to replace my refrigerator.
It doesn't matter. You played house together. You lived together like a couple. We don't have courts that are going to do that. It just doesn't happen. However, now, she left, and there were certain things that you are enjoying, even though they have diminished value to you. And they are of diminished value. I mean, if you purchase a car together for $10,000 and you separate after 5 years and you said, well, I want my $5,000 from him because we paid $10,000 for the car. I put in half. He put in half. I would say to you, the car's not worth $10,000. If you went to sell the car, it would be worth $3,000 now, which means that would be a reasonable thing to do. You sell it for $3,000. When you sell it, you each get half. Or you sell it for $2,000, you each get half. He's not going to pay you what you paid for it. 2012. You used it. You slept on it. You watched the TV. You put food in the refrigerator. So this is what you do. You want to keep the bed?
No.
No?
Well, he lives with his girlfriend now.
Shh. I don't care. What difference does it make? He doesn't want to keep the bed. so she can have it.
I already told her she could have it.
Great.
I don't want it. I don't know what he's done to it.
Listen to me.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Listen to me. Miss Quinn, you say it's your bed, half of it. He doesn't want any. He doesn't want the bed anymore. So if you want it, you can have it. And you have 5 days to pick it up. What about the refrigerator?
Yeah, that's mine, Your Honor.
Well,
refrigerator, dryer.
Just a second. Who paid for the refrigerator?
Well, we both put money in on it, Your Honor.
Well, you did. You paid for the warranty, mm-hmm. the $300. Do you want to keep the refrigerator?
Yes.
$100. That's what you're going to give her for the refrigerator, plus her bed. What about the TV? When was the TV purchased?
It was purchased the same day as the refrigerator in 2012. I have a bank statement showing how much I paid for the TV.
Well, you even told me that you purchased that together.
Yes.
You purchased that. Just a second. You purchased that together.
Yes.
And how much did you pay for it together?
$1,086.17. Okay. I have the receipt right here.
Okay. And the TV is now 3 years old. And does it work?
That's what I was trying to tell you, Your Honor. The TV is actually broke. I even told her that. When she broke into the house, it was sitting right in the corner. She could have took it with her. I threw it away.
Fine. So he doesn't have the TV anymore. What else?
My dryer.
Dryer. Did she pay for the dryer?
Yeah, we bought a washer and dryer set together.
No, we did not.
For $400. No, the washer broke, so that actually went to the curb, too, for trash. And I did purchase a new one for $500.
Fine. Is the dryer still functioning?
It is functioning, yes.
Do you want it?
I do.
Great. How much did she pay for it?
$200.
$400.
How much did you pay for
it? She paid $400 for the washer
$400.
And dryer.
$400? Yes.
$400, show me.
It's I bought it on Craigslist. He just said I bought it for $400. I bought it on Craigslist.
No, he said
dryer.
You bought a washer and dryer for $400, Ms. Quinn. Is that correct?
Yes, but it's a special dryer. So good. Really, I paid for the dryer.
It's very special. You can have $25 for it. You can have $100 for the refrigerator and $25 for the old dryer that you bought used from Craigslist. Plus, if you want the bed, you have to pick it up in 5 days. Thank you very much.
What about my tables and chairs?
Excuse me, step out.
She was giving me threatening emails and stuff that she was just going to come take whatever she wanted.
He tried to tell me I broke in, but I was on the lease.
So I had to lock the house. I had to change the doors.
He changed the locks. He blocked the garage.
I didn't put the car in the garage to block her.
He wasn't very nice.
Absolutely not mean.
He wasn't a very nice person.
She just doesn't know when she has a good man, that's all.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of DeLita versus Sekauskas. Step forward.
Carol DeLita is suing her daughter's ex-boyfriend, William Sekauskas, for the cost of clothes she purchased for her grandchildren.
Mr. DeLita, let me see if I understand this case. The defendant is the father of two grandchildren, two
yes.
boys. Were you married to the plaintiff's daughter?
No, I wasn't, Your Honor.
Okay, but you had two children together.
Yes.
How old are they?
15 and 7. Both boys.
And who has primary custody of the children?
Me and the mother share 50-50 custody.
And was that agreement reached with their mother, or was it reached by court order?
With the mother through a court order.
Okay, so it was in court.
Yes.
The case had been in court. And when was that custody arrangement finalized?
January 24th, 2013.
Okay. Is this the mother of the children?
Yes, it is.
So the custody arrangement has been fine?
Yes.
Great. And do you each take care of the support of the children when you have them, or is there a support order in place?
There's no support between us. Each of us fends for the kids when we have
them. When you have them. Fine. So you want to tell me why you got involved in this seemingly perfect situation?
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
My children went to school. They always look nice. They were dressed. I iron their clothes. I iron my grandchildren's clothes for school.
I sent children to school. I was a working lady. And believe me, I never ironed their clothes.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Carol DeLita says the father of her grandchildren, William Sekauskas, won't return clothes she purchased on the kids' behalf.
Now, you want to tell me why you got involved in this seemingly perfect situation?
Well, it's not a perfect situation, Your Honor. My daughter, Sherry, and my two grandchildren both live with me in my home.
They live with you part-time?
Part-time, yes.
They live with you part-time?
Yes.
Well, that's, I assume, because your daughter needs your assistance.
Absolutely.
Well, then you're a very good mother, but she needs your assistance. Do you live with your mother?
No.
No, you live on your own?
Yes.
You pay your rent?
Yes.
You pay gas and electric?
Yes.
You have a car?
Yes.
Do you have any other children?
I have one other child.
How old?
20 years old, a boy.
Okay. So a boy is 20. That has nothing to do with that. Does that boy live with you?
No.
Has he ever?
No.
No. Okay, fine. So he takes care of himself. Your daughter does not take care of herself. You probably are the support of your daughter and her two children.
No, my daughter works full time.
Well, then why is she living with you?
She's trying to get right back on her feet right now. Rents are expensive.
Right.
Yes. She's been looking. She's saving her money.
So she's living with you and you are helping to take care of her.
Yes.
For how many years?
Maybe 2 years.
So now I'm going to ask you again. Why is it that court had ordered 2 years ago this arrangement that seems to be working out okay? The children spend part of the time with their father in his home and part of the time with their mother in her home. And I want you to tell me why you're making trouble.
I'm not making trouble, Your Honor.
Well, you are clearly here and making trouble. I want to find out. You're not alleging that he's... I read your paper, so you're not alleging he's abusing the children. You're not alleging that he's doing anything untoward with the children. You're not suggesting that anybody in the household is doing anything bad for the children. This has to do with clothes.
Absolutely.
Clothes that you say you buy for the children, and when they go on Wednesday from school to their father's house, they're in nice clothes, and when he sends them back, they're not in nice clothes.
Yes. Yes. And I have spent a tremendous amount of money on the kids' clothes.
Stop. Stop spending money on the children's clothes.
Well, I enjoy buying clothes for the kids.
And that's good for you. I'm telling you, if it bothers you that a 15-year-old comes back in different clothes from the clothes that he dresses to wear when he goes to school and then to his father's house, if that bothers you, stop buying him clothes.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
From one grandma to another, you got your nose in business where it doesn't belong.
Well, this isn't fair to the children.
You got your nose in business where it doesn't belong.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Carol DeLita says the father of her grandchildren, William Sitkauskas, won't return clothes she purchased on the kids' behalf.
Now, let their mother buy them clothes. Let their father, if he can, buy them clothes. Right now, their father, who supports them half a week, doesn't have a mommy to help him. I'm still not understanding why you needed a court to help you resolve this situation.
Because I spend money on the children's clothes. When my children went to school, they always looked nice. They were dressed. I iron their clothes. I iron my grandchildren's clothes for school.
You choose to do that.
Yes, I choose to do that.
I sent children to school. I was a working lady. And believe me, I never ironed their clothes.
Well,
not when they were 15 years old. When they were 15 years old, if they wanted ironed clothes, they learned how to use an iron. And I got up 6 o'clock in the morning and went to work. So if you like to see your children and your grandchildren go to school in ironed clothes, that has nothing to do with him.
What has to do with him is that the clothes that I purchase are not being returned. I've spent a lot of money, and when I send the children to school nicely dressed, I expect them to be returned.
You're their grandmother, not their mother.
Yes, but I'm the one who's buying the clothes.
Stop buying them.
I will from now on.
If it bothers you, he's not paying you for the clothes. That's ridiculous. First of all, you made a gift to the children of the clothes. And once you make a gift, your hands are off the clothes. If they want their clothes back from their father, I assume that he's not selling their clothes, and he'll take the clothes and children will take them back. You don't have a cause of action against him. You buy the children clothes. You make a gift. You're not required to buy the children clothes. The only people that are required to buy the children clothes are their mother and their father, because the parents are responsible for the necessaries for all children. Clothes, food, medical care, dental care, housing, and the like. The thing that a grandparent does, since there is no obligation to provide in the law anywhere to provide for necessaries for the children, anything that you give the children is a gift. You're not entitled to sue him. Your 15-year-old grandchild should say, you know what, Pop, I want my dad, whatever he calls him, I'm taking back the sweatsuit that I left here.
Well, this isn't fair to the children.
You got your nose in business where it doesn't belong.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Are you in a family dispute? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Court's not going to help you. I'm just telling you, from one grandma to another, you got your nose in business where it doesn't belong. How many grandchildren do you have?
Seven.
I have 13. Your business is not to make trouble between these two people. They seem to have worked it out okay, and they don't need a pot stirrer in there. So if it annoys you that the children don't come back in the same clothes, stop buying them clothes. Let their mother, who's got a good job, who's saving money on rent, buy them clothes. Your case is dismissed. Goodbye. Thank you.
Excuse me, step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Some get clever.
What's the story? I'm sticking to it.
Liar, pants on fire.
Others get hostile.
I want to tell you what happened.
Judge Judy gets the last word.
They don't keep me here because I'm gorgeous. They keep me here because I'm smart.
He's a pathetic, father.
The grandmother, like Judge Judy said, sticking her nose where it doesn't belong.
He's irresponsible, and he's a deadbeat dad.
And to say I'm a deadbeat and irresponsible, I buy my own children clothes.
So, like I said, it's a pathetic situation.
They live with me in my own apartment. Their mother lives with her mother.
And then he is pathetic and just a deadbeat dad.
She's been doing that for years. Those are the deadbeats.